Hello everyone, I am Padmini Arhant, representative, divine mission, author and presenter, PadminiArhant.com. Welcome to Impromptu Interaction, Segment 2. In my earlier segment, I raised the issue about politics, smear campaign and personal attacks. The strategy continues amongst those unable to defend their indefensible position. In my earlier segment, I focused on religion, Islam in particular. Hegemony, proxies and servile contingency at their disposal are instructed to project and present me as the face of Islam and this unusual and bizarre disposition is self-contradictory to their real identity and practice, and I will explain why. While I'm being presented as the face of Islam for my views and opinion on issues related to the Islamic world, they seem to forget about their direct connection with Islam as the religion. And my reference is to those, whether or not they consider themselves to be part of any religion, Judaism, Christianity and otherwise, they are linked with Islam as the religion. Islam being one of the Abrahamic religions, the other two being Judaism and Christianity, they are all interrelated. In fact, they are half brothers, with the father being Abraham. Similarly, with respect to Hindu religion, during Mughal invasion of India, through active proselytism of predominantly Hindu nation and Hindu civilization, the Muslim population came into emergence. So Muslim population in India, remember, India has the second largest Muslim population in the world, following Indonesia. Second largest Muslim population in the world did not just arise from migration into India. Second Muslim population in the world, in India, came about through active proselytism throughout Mughal invasion and occupation of India. And I also talked about Kashmir, the Hindu state, was proselytized during that period. This is an irrefutable fact that is being subverted as time goes by. That is why I mentioned they are so desperate, they do not even spare history. They are taking history up to tasks, and they think they can challenge history. Hindu religion was influenced by force for the natives in India, predominantly Hindus, were proselytized to Islam, and the tradition, Islamic and Muslim tradition, is followed even until today in the 21st century. Mughal presence and dominance in northern, eastern and western India, and proselytism, as well as imposition of Islamic customs and traditions, brought about the adaptation that is prevalent today. The example I gave in this regard was Hindu women covering their head is not a Hindu practice or tradition. Hindu women do not cover their head. None of the Hindu goddesses, whether it be Adi Shakti, Saraswati, Lakshmi, or any of these goddesses that Hindus worship in India, none of them cover their heads, for this is not the Hindu tradition or custom. And yet Hindu women in North India, Eastern and Western India included, follow this custom that they adapted from Muslim tradition with the Mughal invasion in India. So I'm asking the critics who present me as Muslim and Islam and so on, have you conveniently forgotten about your identity, whether you have any recognition or acknowledgement? That is irrelevant. Nonetheless, you cannot deny your trait, tracing back to Abraham, the father of all three religions, and the influence of Islam on Hindu religion that has led to the custom and practice in India today with women covering their head, which is not a Hindu custom. In fact, it's a Muslim custom that was enforced and imposed upon the Hindus during Mughal period, retained until today even by those who claim to be the sworn enemies of Islam and Muslim culture. Isn't that an irony in every dimension? Now, I would like to move on to other interesting criticisms against me by my dear opponents and ardent critics who make my day, that only serves as a great source of inspiration to me to educate them by the hour. And I regard this entirely my pleasure to inform them and educate them and to a certain extent assist them to emerge out of this darkness. But for some reason or another, they seem to prefer to be eclipsed in darkness. I would like to now focus on other interesting comments from my opponents on other matter. 2 days ago, Pentagon released a report with 1,176 pages. In that report, there was the comment that was obviously intentional and deliberate to convey the message from Pentagon. I guess my relentless articles about their relentless warfare and militarization of this planet is not something very comfortable to them. That was vividly expressed in that voluminous dossier. In that, there was this comment about how citizen journalists, I'm just quoting the remark by Pentagon in their report that was released 2 days ago. In that report, they had commented about citizens journalists being considered unprivileged, I quote, unprivileged belligerents, end quote. This extraordinary title that has been conferred upon any citizens journalist like myself, this comment is substituted for the earlier characterization of citizens journalist, and that was during Bush-Cheney administration. Citizens journalist bringing the true facts about warfare, how were they viewed and considered by them, the architects and catalysts of illegal invasion and occupation of foreign land. The citizens journalists then were called, I quote, unlawful enemy combatant. Yes, unlawful enemy combatant, end quote. So this is the authority engaged in relentless warfare, isolates anyone presenting the view with facts and evidences on their unlawful activities such as warfare. So my question to Pentagon is, if the citizens journalist is characterized as unprivileged belligerent, does this mean, do they admit them being the privileged belligerent? Would they not qualify them to be belligerent when their actions are in every respect belligerent with the mother of bombs, cluster bombs dropped on defenseless unarmed civilians in Iraq? And what about the depleted uranium that was showered upon the vulnerable residents in Fallujah, Iraq? What about the drone attacks that aggressively chase the young Afghan children and women in the war zone, war-torn Afghanistan or Pakistan? Or how about in Somalia, in West Africa? All of their actions, chasing, targeting defenseless, innocent people worldwide. Does this not make them belligerent? So I suppose if citizens journalists like myself, presenting the evidence, facts-based views and opinions on their belligerent activities worldwide, if I am going to be branded unprivileged belligerent, what does that make them? The real aggressors terrorizing the world with cluster bombs, arsenal, ammunitions. Now the new wave is terrorism, recruiting terror networks to terrorize men, women and children in Syria, throughout Middle East and in other parts of the world. So I guess there is a confession. I consider this a confession from them that they are admittedly the privileged belligerents due to their military intervention, occupation of the planet. Is this why there is this Islamophobia that is being created as smokescreen, knowing well that whether or not they admit the relationship with Islam, they cannot possibly mislead the world anymore, and they cannot live in denial either about their relationship with Islam and people of the Muslim nations. The other interesting scenario that I witness today is the divine mission introduced to the world. The purpose of divine mission explicitly explained as well. The opponents to divine mission, what have they done and what are they engaged in doing until now? despite their every effort being futile and will be in vain, regardless of whatever pursuits and tactics they may deploy to obstruct this mission. What I find amusing as well is that in the wake of this divine mission, all of a sudden I see that there are so many who are claiming to be the divine and divinity forces and Messiah, and they have been projected as the avatars. This is again one of those desperate strategy of the opponents to the real, authentic, irrefutable divine mission. So they have created these imposters, wannabes, in every possible dimension, form and shape, coming from diverse background. It's just mind-blowing, I have to say, mind-blowing. So what is the strategy? You think that with your creation of imposters and pseudo avatars and images, and you would be able to discredit and invalidate this divine mission? In fact, what these participants, this eager, enthusiastic volunteers to represent this convoluted charade is, they do not realize that their participation is going to be to their severe detriment. Already some are experiencing the backlash, with others to follow suit very soon. What hegemony has done in the wake of divine mission is Iran is being portrayed and projected as India. Again, I find this all, quite dramatic and intriguing as well. For I fail to understand how on earth can you make Iran India unless, you have some gross miscalculation and misconception about geographic location. Even though India and Iran may not be that farther away, Iran in West Asia and India in South Asia, nonetheless, distance, however small or great, do matter. And the second thing is, Iran is poised and stated as the Islamic Republic State. Iran is called the Islamic Republic State. And India, in your own declaration, is a Hindu state. So India, with the majority of population being Hindus, would be a Hindu nation. Nonetheless, India is secular, for there are people from other religions and denominations as well. Nonetheless, your converted Iran into India, and you've made Iran India, and you've created several imposters and wannabes, projecting every one of them as avatars or incarnations of some kind or another. And you're also in the process of designating anybody that is not even remotely in resemblance to me in any respect as me, that is Padmini Arhant, whether it be from Indian politics or United States or even Timbuktu in Mali. I guess, you know, you're not able to figure out anyone from outer space, right? For that would be yet another inclusion in your plan of action. So what else is going on with hegemony, that is this desperate incognito power, indulgence to torpedo this divine mission? Am I right? And you think you will succeed? Sometimes I guess there is no harm in hoping for something that may never come into fruition, but yet I guess, you know, you're entitled to your fantasy, even if that fantasy would never become a fact. Amid all these dramatic creation of different characters, even you know, nations swapped with their identity, ignoring geographical, historical, religious, every possible characteristics of nations like Iran having been converted into India, and India being presented as the yes, India unfortunately is the vassal state given the political establishment pledge of allegiance to incognito power. The other aspect that is worth remembering in this context is how the different manifestations that has emerged all of a sudden everyone is real, not everyone, those, the wannabes out there who are projecting themselves as Padmini Arhant, or they claim themselves to be the divine byproducts, however they are positioning themselves in this interesting time. What I do not understand with them is, where were they? Where were they earlier on? Did they just realize all of a sudden that they are the, you know, representatives, or they are so and so with their with hegemony and incognito power, preparing them for this grandstanding, I call it. This is the grandstanding against the divine mission. So my question to them is, where were they yesterday? They were all, the famous celebrities, or veteran and seasoned politicians, and so on. Did they not realize that they were someone who is extremely powerful? How did when they are emerging as the the representatives, obviously of incognito power, are they now preparing to not preparing? I think they have already and conveniently they are disinheriting their real identity as a politician. For instance, now all of their scandals and their various involvements, as incriminating as they are, now with their this sudden image transformation, claiming themselves to be the incarnate, then do they think that the political the excess baggage that they have during their term in office, and that would apply to even any of those celebrities, that they can just conveniently disinherit that past, and their emergence as so-and-so at hegemony or incognito power behest would just make them what they are claiming to be right now in their respective position, whether as head of the state, or anyone who is consistently seeking fame and fortune. Obviously, this must be a great dilemma to them, in my view. So now I would like to ask more questions, for I feel that this is the time to clarify from my end, and seek clarifications from my ardent critics who are out there with relentless attacks through various sources that they have, courtesy taxpayers and common man in mainstream population. My next question is the current trend with incognito power is to have their proxy governments directly involved in private life of people, the public. So they are so obsessed with anybody's private life that they forget about living their life, which I consider a big tragedy for them. Now, when you question my life, which I have already disclosed in the most transparent, comprehensive, to a certain extent, even unnecessarily detailed manner, and not to mention your pervasive and perverted surveillance of my existence, even though I have nothing whatsoever to hide to you, the members of the incognito power, your proxies, your servile contingency, or anyone on this planet. When you question about anything about me, I think it is only fair that I pose similar questions to you, for I am one of those, I am a believer in fairness and equality, regardless of whoever I am speaking with. Fairness and equality is what I expect and respect when it comes to dialogue and action. That being the case, so what I'm asking you, the incognito power, is with all the malevolence and your distorted information about me, I would like to ask you that, you know, when you question about anything to do with me, my marital status or anything, I pose the question to you: what makes you think that I should believe you or any of your proxies and your members as married, when you claim yourselves to be married, or when you think that you have taken the solemn sacred oath of marriage? Was I invited to your wedding? Just like you tell me, how come, you know, we were not invited to the wedding? And I pose the same question to you: I was not invited to your wedding either, right? So that makes you and your marriage null and void, simply because I was not invited to your wedding. I'm going along with your rule or your application. Now, when people out there, the cynics, the critics, Oh, how do we know? Because, you know, we were not invited to the wedding, and I wasn't invited to any of your weddings either. So much so, not even in my dream. What do you know? Isn't that something interesting? Yes, I would say so. Not even in my dream I was invited to your wedding or anything. So what makes you think that I should believe about your identity or status? Tell me. This is why I say to you, when you want to be a cynic, you want to be a critic, make sure that you qualify to do so. Make sure that your slate is clean prior to targeting me or anybody like me. And now I have more questions. Yes, tonight is going to be a very interesting night for you and me. The incognito power, their proxies, their minions, the sycophants, what will the incognito power do without them? They are the pillars. So what happens when you remove the pillars? The structure will collapse. Yes, that is what would happen, is it not? Hegemony? Now, there is another disposition amongst my opponents, critics, and that being, they are so proud of their towering height. Yes, they always make this comment about, oh, he was a tall leader, a tall person. Your obsession with height, right? Let me say a thing or two about this particular aspect, about your obsession with height. First and foremost, height does not make anything mighty or right. I'll tell you why. To small minds, yes, to small minds, anything better and greater than them would always look smaller. Do you get it? Perhaps not. I'll repeat it again. Your obsession with height, when you quote, oh, a tall leader, a tall person, I know you have time and time again attacked me, and I quote, your interesting nicknames for me, dwarf, midget, and so on and so forth. You're not, first of all, if you think that is how I am, that only goes to show your stature. As tall as you think you are, with such attitude and impression, this only makes you diminutive. Yes, diminutive, not only in stature but also in character, which I consider relevant in terms of moral ethics and respect, trustworthiness as well. So this obsession, your obsession with height, when you claim, well, tall people, tall leader, that is why I say to you, you know, your impression about me, my height itself is as like anything else is a miscalculation, a gross misunderstanding. This is again intentional on your part, which you know as well as I do. And secondly, you're not insulting me. You're insulting significant population in the world, on whose charity you exist. Let it be known to you. And for your to dispel this ignorance and your obsession with height, I have taken the liberty to present you the contrasting and intelligent facts about height and what differences. This is glaring distinctions in heights and their purpose behind it. And that is being demonstrated through these illustrations, these pictures on my website, padminiarhant.com, exclusively brought to you and your proxies with this obsession for height. I can explain to you. The coconut tree or the palm tree is a very tall tree. You can say even as tall as you think you are. The palm tree. Yet the palm tree, the tall palm tree cannot provide the shade and shelter like the banyan or the peepal tree. Yes, it's called the peepal tree. It's spelled P-I-P-A-L, peepal tree, or the banyan tree. The banyan or peepal tree might be small in, small is not the small version as you imagine or you think, yet comparatively smaller, but then the banyan and the peepal tree provide not only shade, the way the fruits of any of those the trees of that size bearing fruits allows people of any height, yes, people of any height to reach the tree, the branches of those trees and pick the fruits from those trees, unlike the tall palm tree where one has to be adept in climbing that tree using a special gear, which is not the practice in villages or in any poorer nations that are tropical, where you see these tall palm trees. And in the process of getting the coconuts from the palm tree, the ones who do not have any fancy gears, they endure, they sustain injury, abrasions, and sometimes some of them even fall from the heights. See what the tall palm tree is doing? And likewise, I can give you another tall tree, the cypress tree. The cypress tree is also a tall tree, but again, it cannot provide any shade or shelter. Yes, it keeps rising, towering in height, but without being able to provide any shade, shelter, or benefit. To animals and humans alike. So you get the difference now? Your obsession with height. This is what I call illiteracy, despite claiming intellectualism. Things that you fail to learn in life. For you have only known what others have written from what they thought and understood. You have not really made any effort to understand the real education, the meaning of real education that nature provides to all who have the ability to see, to understand, and to apply that in their own life. I hope now this obsession with your height, thinking that only tall people can always be very tall in everything they do. No. On the contrary, if you're talking about towering heights, my definition of being tall is demonstrate in your actions, your deeds, that is, how you treat your fellow beings, not just human beings, setting aside your prejudice, your presumptuousness, your folly, mistakenly considered as your intellect. Then you will understand the world and the creations along with its meaning and definition of life. You need to understand the real purpose of life. Unfortunately, that appears to be beyond your capability. As long as you remain blinded by your ignorance, for you choose to remain ignorant. There is no reason for you to be ignorant. We are living in the information age, are we not? With challenges to invade Mars and Moon. Another thing I would like to highlight while I'm on this topic about presumptuousness is even a well-oiled, well-run machinery or even any gadget, any devices that you use. We are so surrounded by devices. We are living in a machine age, aren't we? Yes, machine age. That is why this is Kalki Avatar. Preordained for this machine age using technology, the information era, Kalki Avatar. Also to end this dark age, Kali Yug. Kali Yug is the dark age. What is not happening? My goodness. The blood rivers are flowing. Violence, mayhem, catastrophe is the obsession. Corruption is considered the way of life. Criminality is upheld as justice. Lies, deception, regarded morality. Violation of rights and life celebrated with joy. This is Kali Yug, the dark age, coming to an end. Well-oiled, well-run machinery, no matter how well that has been maintained, runs its course sooner than later, becomes inoperative. What do you do to that? Would you just hang on to it as a memento and cherish for time immemorial? Or would you just say it's time to discard this redundant, useless machinery or gadget, device? My point is, when a well-maintained and managed inanimate objects runs its course and you can no longer use it, you have to dispose. You cannot be accumulating junk. As such, you feel that there is no space on this planet, isn't it? Similarly, here I am talking about your operation, the incognito power. You have been in power for so long that obviously you do not even realize that you have run out of time. In fact, your time has run out a while ago. So when you have to discard a device that is no longer useful, here we are talking about your operation that is in every respect a dysfunctional apparatus, a dysfunctional apparatus. A dysfunctional apparatus becomes dangerous for users as well as for those who are expected to accept this as their means for survival. So a dysfunctional apparatus that is beyond repair, my reference is to your operation, control over this planet. It's beyond repair. It's a this disorderly function is not sustainable. You know it. And accordingly, anything that becomes dysfunctional and inoperable, that has to be brought to conclusion. This is only for the inhabitants' safety and security, as well as for the planet existence. This would also apply to living, breathing beings, living beings. There is something called mortality that you seem to somehow dismiss, thinking that you're here permanently as the immortal. No, immortality is not a boon that is given to those created to serve some purpose, but if their purpose becomes the existential threat for life on earth or in general, how do you expect immortality as the boon? Sorry, there is no such thing as immortality for you. Just in case you have this delusion about you being the immortal and your determination to lead yourself and the planet into peril. Your time is limited on this planet as well. Let that not be forgotten. While you are preoccupied in imposing premature deaths on innocent people worldwide, not to mention the environmental degradation and abuse that continues to no limit. That means destruction of life on this planet. So much so that direct disruption in the ecological balance endangering life on this planet. Everything is created with an expiry date. You know how when you go to supermarket and you buy anything, any product, you check on the expiry date. Why do you think they all have expiry date? For nothing is meant to last forever. So are you. You are not here. You are not meant to be here forever. But then you behave like you are here forever and you will be here forever. That is why there is so much resistance to change, to positive course, and any constructive proposals, your defiance, your hesitance, your reluctance, your hesitation, your reluctance is all the sign of your agitation. I'm pretty sure that you're aware that your time on this planet is limited as anyone else's, but then your defiance is merely a self-consolation, perhaps, but that is not going to change. What is inevitable? The choices are very clear. Abandon. Yes, abandon this perilous course. Renounce your destructive actions. And come to this recognition. You cannot escape from your destiny. You may launch any attacks and smear campaign against me. I remain determined and confident as representative of divine mission. Yes, representative of divine mission. While you, the incognito power, and your proxies, your contingency, knowingly and willfully committed in your suicide mission. Yes, your suicide mission. Time will tell whether the divine mission will prevail over the suicide mission or not. On this note, Padmini Arhant, representative divine mission, author and presenter, PadminiArhant.com. Thank you all for your attention.